What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
State your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
801 ESPN 97.5.
Hey, congrats to Houston Chronicle writer, one of the guys on the Texans beat, Aaron Wilson, who got married this last week in the midst of the pandemic. Didn't stop him from getting married. And so congratulations to Aaron Wilson, who I saw his pictures on social media. You know, his wife passed. It was very tragic 5 years ago. I don't know if you remember that or if you knew that.
I don't, no.
Yeah, and it was a very sad story, and you know, talked a little bit to Aaron about that, and, you know, and he's just really, he's really been able to overcome that, and I was very happy for him. Very happy to see him. I met him. I went and had a deal. I was with a group called Play the Draft or First Round Exchange. And I think I was here the first time this happened. I was speaking for this company that was a draft game that was like the stock market. It's actually a brilliant concept. It was just ahead of its time, you know, about 9 years ago. And they flew me out. They had me speaking for them. They had Mel Kiper. They got Mel Kiper too. They flew me out to Maryland, and I taped with Mel Kiper a couple of like two or three YouTube kind of commercials or whatever. And they had Aaron Wilson out there to actually, I think I knew Aaron Wilson from Twitter, and I asked him if he would come cover it and write about it, and he did for whatever paper. He was writing for a paper out. Like, he was a name guy. He still is. And he was writing, not Washington Post, but I don't know, whatever it is out in Maryland. But anyway, no, Baltimore, whatever the Baltimore paper was. But I met Aaron Wilson for the first time in person. They're really nice guy. Mel Kiper, no lie, Mel Kiper is one of the nicest guys that I've done any really? Business with in the draft. He was such a great dude to work with then. He didn't know me. I mean, he knew me a little from Twitter, but he didn't really know me. And he couldn't have been a nicer guy, very respectful. He always was when I was coming up doing the draft stuff, even beyond that. To this day, Mel Kiper is one of the most genuine guys. Just for you guys out there who see him, and I know there's, you know, for
some people.
I know
he helps a lot of people in the business.
He does. I know for some people, they think he's a, you know, you see the DJs, and I think Daniel Jeremiah and these guys, I mean, they put the time in, they put the work in. Mel puts time in too. Mel works, and I'm telling you right now, he is a really, really good dude. Really genuine, nice guy. You can't find people who say a bad thing about him. So when you're watching TV, McShay's okay. McShay has a little attitude to him. But Mel, as genuine as they come, just a really, really nice guy.
That's correct.
He's been doing it since the freaking 80s.
Yeah.
Like, he started the concept. Joel Buschbaum and others were doing it even before him. But on TV,
yeah,
the, you know, coming up out of nowhere being a draft guy.
Dude has been.
Mel invented that in the 80s.
This is going on 40 years of this.
He was late 80s, I want to say. Even before then, because Chris Sola said he would skip school to watch the NFL draft. How about that? The draft would be on, and he said he skipped school to watch the NFL draft. So that meant it wasn't even, at that time, it wasn't even a Saturday or a Sunday. I don't even know what time
Wednesday
the draft came
morning.
On. Yeah. And he skipped. I said, you skipped school to watch a draft? He said, yeah.
Lamont says the Baltimore Sun is where we were.
Yeah.
good stuff. So congratulations to Aaron getting remarried. Can y'all explain to me how you milk the almonds? Been wondering for a while now. I don't know that. I've never.
A lot of pressure.
I don't know how you get.
A lot of squeeze, a lot of pressure.
You got to squeeze the milk out of them?
Yeah.
But there's milk inside almonds?
I mean, you tell me, you drink it.
I don't know. I mean, I've always wondered that too. How do you make, like, you can make milk out of anything, like spinach milk. Or, I mean, there's. I know, but.
Coconut milk makes more sense.
Right. Almond milk. It's white inside.
Yeah.
That I get.
My son Drake is like, oh, you know what I'm drinking now, Dad? What are you drinking, Drake? Oat milk.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
Well, but oats, yes. The chocolate oat milk is really good. Really good. It comes in that yellow. And yellow and brown.
Do your friends at Luling's know that you're drinking almond milk and oat milk
and chocolate oat?
Chocolate oat milk.
Yeah.
Do they know what you? Do they know you're involved in these?
I have more than one life. I have one more than.
I forgot. You're the you have organic John life, and then also John who says questionable things life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine. No. At home, you don't think I'm respectful and a nice guy?
Man, this dude juices at home. He goes on cleanse. He drinks, cayenne pepper?
Because JT made him.
Well, he still did
JT
it.
JT made me do it. No, you know who I got that from? The picture of health? Nick from Nick's Place?
Hey, John, try this juice. It's got cayenne in it.
No, you got to do it, John. You got to. No, I don't.
But you did do it.
I did do it, and then I didn't anymore, and neither did JT, because it's horrible. Because you ain't making milk out of cayenne pepper, trust me. You ain't making no milk out of that. But apparently, there's oat milk, there's mushroom milk, there's milk all over the place. Tracy McGrady said that the Rockets are, and I kind of agree with this. The Rockets are a dangerous team because of the hiatus.
Okay, explain that, because I feel like that too, but I can't really get my – I can't wrap my hands around logic to support it.
Well,
Vegas thinks that. You think it. I think it. Tracy McGrady. Everyone seems to think it. Why? But give me a reason why.
Well, I think because James takes on such a burden night in, night out for 80 games, 82 games.
So it's just healthier.
And then seven-game playoffs. Yes. He has got – listen, LeBron had 10 assists this year. Other guys were scoring. James takes on the majority of the burden for the Houston Rockets and has for years, even with Chris Paul here, even with Russ here, night in, night out, the beating, the to the line, and, you know, he's on the floor so much, banged up. By the end of it, I'm convinced that James just wears out. You've worn this dude out. He likes to play 82 games. He wants the ball in his hands all the time. Now he rests on defense. There's no question about that.
But it's still a grind every single day, being ready and going.
And doing this with your hand to stop somebody.
Oh, the slap.
Yeah,
the slap defense.
The ole. Yeah.
You know, James does play a physical brand of basketball.
Yes.
So there might, I mean, that's the most specific and obvious reason that you can come up with. I mean, that's the only one I can come up with is James might be, and an older team might be rejuvenated. PJ Tucker may be, older legs may be rejuvenated. Russell Westbrook is an explosive player. We never think about him fatiguing, but maybe he does too. Maybe Russell Westbrook does too.
I actually dreamt the other night that the Rockets won the title, and I've said I don't believe in the small ball. I don't believe in Mike D'Antoni. You're trying to reinvent the wheel here, and well, apparently Daryl Morey said the other day, we've made some changes defensively, and hopefully they've thought about, Mike D'Antoni had a lot of time this offseason during this break to actually come up with a defensive plan of something, as opposed to, the rest of the time he's been here where there really was no, I don't think that they thought about it. And even he joked about it that, hey, we're good. We rest on defense. He can rest on defense. We separate. We social distance on defense. So So I'll be it'll be wonderful to eat my words. I don't understand though the infatuation with a six seed that was playing as terribly as this team was, that is doing something totally foreign to the NBA in not having a player over 6'6 on the floor ever. And yet, you're right. Vegas thinks so. All of these people think that the Rockets really have a big chance. So I'm starting to, you know what? I'm like a sheep. If everybody's going to go this way, I'm going to go there with them. Right?
To slaughter?
Yeah.
Are you being led to
slaughter? Sheep.
Just shearing, yeah.
Yeah. I'll get a haircut. Right. I'll be a sheep. I'm going to be a sheep right now. And you know what? I kind of like being moving along with the crowd here.
Let's check along. Let's check out.
Do you like it when if everybody in the crowd
like it when
was
you're
doing
gambling?
No, it's a bad thing, gambling.
And then everything, does that feel good?
I didn't say I was gambling. I didn't say I was going to be a gambling sheep.
So your Houston Rockets right now for the NBA championship, odds to win, this is one side I'm looking at, are the favorites would be who?
The Bucks. The Lakers.
The Lakers are the favorite, and then the Bucks and the Clippers are second favorite. +240, +300.
Okay.
For those teams. After that,
I mean, after that, it's probably Toronto.
After that, it would be Toronto's +2,000.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you don't think it's one of the big teams, Houston Rockets are +1,200. After them, it's the Rockets.
The Rockets are fourth favorite?
On this site?
What the hell?
+1,200.
This is a six seed, people.
And then Boston Celtics are +1,400.
This is a six seed.
I thought it feels good.
It does feel great.
It feels good. Keep running with it.
I just don't.
1,200 is not enough for you?
I just don't get it.
What do you think the Western Conference winning the Western?
And, oh, by the way, they've got to get through both see, that doesn't make any sense to me. The Celtics or Toronto should be second because all they got to get through is to the Bucks to get to. The Rockets will have to beat the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Bucks.
In the Western Conference, it's literally just three teams. The Lakers are +150 in the West. The Clippers are +175. The Rockets are +650. And after that, the next one is Denver, +1,200, followed by Dallas, +1,800. They're only saying, look, there's only three teams that have a chance to win the West, and those are the three teams. And the Rockets, to me, if you're going to bet them to win the West, I mean, you might as well take your shot and bet them to win the whole thing because it's hard enough. Winning the West, you're going to have to get through.
Well, unless somebody else gets there, but they don't look good against
the
Bucks.
But the Bucks, yeah, that's a good point.
They don't match up well with the Bucks.
Milwaukee to win the Eastern Conference, -160.
Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of feel like a lock?
But who else? Yeah.
Well,
-160 is a good
Boston. I think the Celtics are a live dog at +650. That's another one that may hit a little reset through the. I could see them with all their talent, you know, theoretically Philadelphia too, but I think the Boston Celtics +650 are the one team.
They can't play on the road, and every game's on the road now.
Who?
Philadelphia. They're one of the worst
Boston
road teams in the league.
Boston is a team that has an interesting blend of different things that could attack Milwaukee. I think that's a very interesting
813 series. ESPN 975-713-780-3776.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know about Friday. I do expect that once he clears everything, that he'll be ready to go, you know, 5-on-5 and all that. I think we'll probably, I would say Friday might be a little early. That'll be up to the medical staff and Russell himself and see how he feels in the days before, but hopefully he'll get in a couple of scrimmages and then be ready for us to play.
Russ is back, and he'll have about, I don't know, 3 or 4 practices to get ready, right? So we'll see. They had 0 positive tests in the bubble, which was nice. So Russ is back, and he says he's in good shape, and we'll see. I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to keep an open mind and hope that it's all good. But what I last saw of the Rockets was not very good. And other teams have had a lot of time to, get ready for. Maybe they're rejuvenated. I don't know. But they did have a nice run there. Wait, with
which
the small
side
ball,
are you on? Are you on the Rockets side or off?
I'm torn. I don't.
Oh, you just told me you're feeling good and you and the rest of the crew are rolling with the Rockets.
Okay,
and now
you're. You
it's a totally different vibe.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you really feel really great? Or are you going to have some doubts at any point about this Rockets team?
No, I've had doubts throughout.
Well, okay. So I felt like for a couple minutes.
I'm just more hopeful right now at the Rockets.
The tip of it moved for.
Jeez. Your Honor, I. Circumstantial.
Okay.
Evidence.
It wasn't circumstantial.
You have to hold him in contempt. Because
yeah, at some point you are going to get held
the
in
suspect.
Contempt.
Sir, this is
this is not the John Granada that drinks almond milk. I promise you
this
that.
This is a legal proceeding. Respect the courtroom, sir.
I am respecting the courtroom. I am.
Sir, we're in the midst of discovery phase. There's really no reason for you to make these aggressive comments.
For a minute, I said it.
We both watched Outcry, so we can speak on court stuff now.
Yeah. No. I'm a Law and Order guy. I watched every episode, so yeah. I know. I know everything about the law. So Kirk Ferentz, how's he going to make it through this? I mean, apparently now there is a report through Freedom of Information Act.
He's not going to make it through this is the answer.
That in 2018, they had an internal report detailed major racial biases inside the Iowa Athletic Department. And it exposed wide-ranging discrepancies in the way that black players were treated when compared to their white counterparts. Well, just a couple months ago, when their strength coach was called to the carpet and then had to beat it, you got to go because you make a lot of people uncomfortable here. Kirk Ferentz was like, "What? I didn't know nothing. What's going on?" Well. Just 2 years ago, you had a report, Kirk, and he didn't think that. See, that's so dumb. That is just so dumb. He should have gone, yeah, you know, we've been aware of this for a little while, and we've been trying, but we're not doing good enough.
He had to have known about the report.
Well, no, yes, he knew about the report.
So why would you need
it? I know, he was like, huh? What? I didn't know anything about this.
So Bomani talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, there's 80% of the white players graduated, 40% black players, and that's the biggest discrepancy. And, you know, I know people will say, well, what if the guys didn't care or what if they went pro or whatever? Well, Iowa hasn't had a ton of guys going pro early. I mean, first and foremost. I mean, they have had some decent players go. But I think the point was, relative to the conference, it's a huge discrepancy. And you know, you can't just rely on numbers. You have to know the individuals. Were they putting in the effort? Was Iowa holding them accountable? Did Iowa have something going on with student athletes where they, you know, I don't know. I just know that the more stuff that comes out, and Kirk Ferentz is an older coach, at some point, the squeeze is not, the juice is not going to be worth the squeeze for him, and he'll retire.
You remember when Kirk Ferentz, way back when, was like, oh, he's the next pro coach.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was, it seemed like every job that opened.
But he's a pro style type of, yeah, that would.
Now,
his offense is that kind of.
Well, when you got Ricky. Yeah. Ricky Stanzi. Yeah, what is this?
Ricky Stanzi.
Stanzi.
Yeah.
You got to be a pro style. Those guys. Because he ain't running.
The diversity task force created by Iowa found that black players were targeted for more drug testing, weren't informed of resources available to student athletes, and were more harshly punished and expected to conform to the culture that white players set.
Well, now, Kirk Ferentz did say this, though. He read the report in 2019, according to Hawkeye Nation, and he made minor changes to the culture of the program prior to last season. He said, we allowed student athletes to wear hats, earrings, and hoodies, but what I learned is that there's a lot more to it.
This is It just fits in line with the, with those jokes on Twitter for a more serious conversation when black people are tweeting about, yeah, we asked you to stop killing us or, you know, defund the police, but we appreciate you now allowing black people to be have black voices in cartoons. Thank you.
Thank you. But and we do appreciate you letting me wear my earring.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, I'd like to, you know, have the resources to graduate, just like some of the white players who are here. But now that I get to wear my hoodie, everything's mm-hmm. just fine.
Haitian Q's James Daniels said, there are too many racial disparities in the Iowa football program. Black players have been treated unfairly for far too long. Haitian Q retweeted it with saying, thank you, James. I remember when I used to wear my tank tops in the facility. I used to get called in the coach's office because I had too much tattoos and it wasn't the Iowa culture or the Iowa way.
No, that's a real small town middle America.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like Kirk. Let's remember now, Kirk Ferentz is a throwback. He'd be like your, you know, your dad or your grandpa or whatever. Like Kirk Ferentz, his tattoos are a, like, what the hell are all these tattoos that you got? That's not his generation. That's still jarring to them. The earrings, maybe. Not if you've been around football that long. I mean, earrings have been a pretty big thing. You know, tattoo culture really has been where everyone's tatted up. You go back, was that striking at all when you watched Last Dance that other than Dennis Rodman, you almost didn't see a tattoo on anybody? Do you remember when Charles Barkley, we're doing radio shows about Barkley was so, you know, like he just couldn't believe how many tattoos Allen Iverson had, which is like five. Like Allen Iverson has tattoos. We're just not ready for tattoos and that kind of haircut. Do you remember it's Charles Barkley, like the hair and the tattoos and the baggy clothes off the, you know, off the court? It's not that far removed where that would be a crazy thing for Kirk Ferentz and for people like, what is, I don't see any of the farmers here with tattoos like that.
Well, maybe he should recruit those guys and see how he does.
None of the farm kids. I'll tell you how he does. Ask Scott Frost. Nebraska.
Well.
Although Nebraska used to be, Nebraska used to take
Lawrence Phillips
types, all the even Peter, the even Christian
the,
Peters,
even the Peters brothers.
Yeah, they had way too much edge.
Oh, more than edge.
Well, but they also had the benefit of Nebraska would also have guys who had money who could like would not. They would not redshirt, but they were walk-ons. They had huge walk-on advantages. Where guys with money who could play a little bit would walk on for a couple of years and give them additional scholarships, basically. And we're talking walk-ons who are starting guards and stuff like that. That was back in the day.
Mm-hmm. ask Tex Chance and Jay Goss, who found a way to milk crawfish, then almond shouldn't be a problem. But Jackie says crawdilk was great on paper. It just didn't work out. Almond milk, chocolate almond milk.
Grape. I never want to hear the phrase crawdilk. I don't want to hear that. It's just too.
No.
It just doesn't sound like something that I should have in my diet.
Art says almond milk, chocolate almond milk, grape, and orange soda. Me and JG are clearly good people, family men, Allah fearing men. Yep. That's me and you, Art. Y'all are such rocket homers. Them bums' only chance of winning is winning a fast pass at Disney World. Yeah, I don't really believe it, but I'm amazed.
What? I mean.
No, if they do, I'm going to be on board.
You had a dream. Did you forget your
dream? I did have a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also dreamt.
Ride the dream.
My wife was sleeping with Joey Votto, but that didn't happen.
But ride this dream, though.
Right. Well, I don't
know. Ride this dream out. Can we, when we come back, can we get to the Astros? Because the Astros actually played baseball. We haven't talked about the Astros playing baseball. No. And Lance McCullers getting to work. We had home runs. We had McCullers saying. He was basically telling the world what his pitches look like, which he was very excited about some of his pitches. I'll just leave it that way.
Let's talk about Chastain Ford. I'm excited about them. I'm excited about the Chastains because I've done business with them. I've bought my vehicle from them, and I love the process. I love the way they went about it. And you know what? It you can go to a dealership, and they'll be like, "Hey, you want this? Hey, you're gonna need this, but yeah. Hey, you gotta have this, and this is look at this." And they were nothing like that. They were like, "Just you know what? Here's this car. you know, what do you like about it? Do you want this? Do you want this in the car? Do you think you can, okay, here, this would be the price on this, or we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. You know, this is obviously an upgrade here. No pressure. It was a wonderful car buying experience. And if you're looking for that, because it does make a difference. And, oh, by the way, you want price? They've got that. Oh, by the way, you want 0% financing? They've got that. No payments for 6 months? They got that. Nothing down? They've got that. They've got it all. They've got the best deals on your Fords at Chastang Ford. Why do you think they're the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston? It's because they do it right, and they've been doing it right since 1933. That is amazing. Chastang Ford, ChastangFord.com. You can buy online. You can do it all online. You don't even have to go into the dealership, but if you want to, it's on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastang Ford.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:30 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The number, if you would like to call in and hang out with us. Are you worried about Altuve going 0-for-3 last night?
No.
You're not? You're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine with Altuve.
Breggers had a double and not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Brantley, 1-for-3. Professional hitter. That's what he does. That's what he does.
That's what he does.
Carlos Correa was 0-for-3. You worried about his season?
Yeah, I already told you. He really struggled in the simulated season, too. So this feels like a continuation of that. I'm a little worried about that. And he got married. You never know if marriage is going to make you better or not as better.
He's been married for a little while now.
Oh, yeah, he has been.
Yeah,
he has been.
So what did you think of Lance McCullers?
Nasty, filthy. He had that hard slider he was throwing. You know, I wonder, the one area of concern with Lance was always he had an explosive fastball. He would just... You know, he couldn't really control it on either side of the plate on a consistent basis. But he feels very comfortable with breaking pitches, right? Spin pitches. So spin pitches he feels comfortable with. I think it makes sense. He threw this nasty slider down that broke away from a right-handed hitter and struck him out. He turned around. Rob Friedman's got it. Retweeted it last night. Rob Friedman has a video of it. He turns around and he goes, "That was effing nasty." Lance McCullers says that about himself. And it could be one of those things where maybe he uses that power slider just a little bit. Maybe he just feels better putting a little tight spin on his that could maybe be his fastball, basically. Not just a wipeout slider, but maybe that could be something that he works with to locate a harder slider so he's getting movement on a pitch, but he's still throwing it harder. I don't know. I mean, I still think he has a plus fastball from a velocity standpoint. But yesterday, McCullers went 5 innings, gave up 4 hits, 1 run, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. It was extraordinarily pleasing and comforting, and it really was something that gave me a lot of hope to see Lance McCullers come out and not just – and really, go 5 innings, 5 strong innings, and then go 6-0 on strikeouts to walks. You don't see that with Lance McCullers. That's not something you usually see. And when we talked to him on the Off Script podcast, I can tell you, he basically had a confidence level. He feels extremely confident in the work he's been doing, in the work that he did to get his mechanics tightened up after he had his surgery. I think Lance McCullers feels like, not only is he a new man, but he's got a confidence level that is off the charts right now. This could be a year where Lance McCullers is the number two pitcher on the staff. And it looked like, remember when he came up and had that big game against Baltimore right out of the gates? I remember thinking, this guy has like number two to potential future number one, number two to Keuchel at that time stuff.
Right. Are you a championship team if Lance McCullers is your number two?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Well,
we've seen his stuff before. We know it's electric.
Yeah. Well, he's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, Lance McCullers, but he had a surgery that typically adds more durability to your arm.
Right. But he's a smaller body guy, and that usually is the wear and tear. Now, a 60-game season may play wonderfully into that. I think it plays wonderfully into Greinke, Verlander, and McCullers. I think it you can't be better for the Astros having just 60 games with two guys that are going on or 37 or right in that neighborhood and a guy coming off Tommy John. Who's a smaller guy who hasn't been able to last an entire season. I think it plays perfectly into the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
The top three, anyway.
I'm not.
Josh James is a power guy.
Josh James was not convinced yet.
Where's Urquidy?
Josh James just hasn't convinced me yet. That's something that hasn't happened, and he needs to do that this year. Reddick had a bomb yesterday. In that one, as well as Hatchett, as well as Machete, I mean.
Right. crawfish milk, crawdilk, it didn't really work because crawfish don't have nipples, apparently.
Mm.
That was the main stumbling block, Jackie says, to Chance's dream. He even made a logo. May have to circle back to it as science progresses. There's a lot of nipples on this crawfish, but apparently they don't have those. So this is it. This artist's rendering of a crawfish is inaccurate at best, I would say. So crawdilk isn't a thing because of that. There was a hindrance to Chance's dream of crawdilk. Crawfish milk would be terrible. That smell and taste would be terrible. I don't want that. No, thank you. So excited, man. I'm really excited. Here we go. Now
feels real more now. Excited.
Who's closer to a championship this year, Rockets or Astros?
Astros. Rockets have to get by Clippers Lakers or Milwaukee.
I saw one of the baseball pundits, one of the baseball experts, put him in tears, and it went... Dodgers, Yankees, and Twins at the top. Astros just a peg below by themselves.
Okay.
And then five other teams underneath that.
World Series odds. Let's take a look. Rockets are fifth in Vegas, fourth in this one website I was looking at. The Houston Astros are third behind Dodgers, Yankees, Astros, Twins, Braves, and wow, that's right, Tampa Rays, Washington Nationals. Are all sitting there at the same spot. So,
well, Nationals have lost.
According to the odds, the Astros have a better chance of winning a championship than the Rockets. I think that's accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when last we left you, they were at a game seven. Granted, Cole was a big part of that one. When last we left you, the Rockets were not playing very well this season toward the end of that
season. Can you believe we were just talking about the other day that World Series is like, it's only 9 months ago. Doesn't it feel like it's, I mean, with all this stuff that's happened to this organization.
The Rockets shutdown was a year ago? Well, basketball shutdown? This doesn't feel like the same season. Not even close.
Yeah.
Does this feel like a continuation of the regular season? It feels like we're starting basketball all over again.
Do you guys both think? Now, this eight-game pre-playoff, what are they calling it? This eight-game?
Restart?
Reseed?
Seeding games.
Seeding games, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it should be part of MVP voting?
Sure. Why not?
Well, because...
It's
a restart after months off.
Do you expect the best players to not...
Well, it's between Giannis and LeBron.
Yeah.
That's it. And LeBron said he's okay if they just go with, which I would imagine he, and I don't know, is LeBron got more love now than he did before the break? I don't know.
Well, consider Milwaukee. They're not losing the one seed no matter what happens, really, unless they lost all eight games. There's no home court to fight for. Why would they play Giannis considerable minutes? So are you going to base these 8 games of Giannis's season when he might play 20 plus minutes a night.
Yeah. So, don't you want to get him back in shape?
But I think voters will take that into account, though.
They'll ramp it up, sure. I heard Stan Van Gundy was actually on the Low Post with Zach Lowe talking about how as a coach, he expects guys to not play early and play more later to get themselves ready to go for the playoffs as opposed to playing early in the seeding games and then shutting it down. He thinks they'll do a slow ramp up.
Well, for him, it's different, though, because they don't have to win.
No,
the Lakers have to win so that they can keep the one seed, right? Or does it even matter having a one seed?
They're 5.5 up. As long as they don't completely fall apart, they're probably going to have the one seed.
Does it even matter who's the one seed?
You'd probably rather play the Grizzlies or the Blazers or the Pelicans than you would the Mavs. You probably would want to avoid the Mavs. Just make it as easy as possible for you. The Mavs are a better team than.
But see, I heard Joel talking about this. And full disclosure, I think Joel is one of the sharpest basketball minds that we have in sports radio because he was with the Rockets. He lives for Rockets basketball or basketball in general, not just Rockets basketball. So he knows quite a bit. The one thing that he said is something I hear commonly and something I've always heard in sports radio and I've been a part of is when you talk about the Rockets and he said, well, look, you know, you don't want to face the Utah Jazz. That's somebody you don't want to face. And you don't want to face...
Really? Even without Gobert?
Well, he was that they're dangerous, and he pointed out that...
They're dangerous without Gobert?
Gobert's there. It's Bogdanović who's not there.
Yeah, Bogdanović is there. And he even mentioned that, too, that Bogdanović wasn't there.
Listen, how is Gobert going to be?
Well, how is Russ going to be?
Well, but we know that Gobert was sick.
Yeah, but they say
it was months...
Yeah, but that has been months. I think he'll be fine. Remember, he got it on the front end. I mean, that was March.
Yeah, but he said it was months. He was still feeling weak.
Well, as far as without, he will be playing. Now, what he is when he plays is up for debate, but he'll be there. They won't be without him.
Well, his point, so to Joel's point, you know, you'd rather face Denver, who's in a 3 seed now. You don't really want to face Oklahoma City because you got the Russ stuff with, these are just suppositions. You got Russ, and maybe Oklahoma City might get ramped up to play Russ. You've got the Utah Jazz. You don't really want to see them.
Are you really worried about Oklahoma City if Bogdanović?
Well, my whole thing is this. If you have designs on being a championship team, like that 95 Rockets team that had to go on the road from the 6th seed and play all these really good teams, you really should never be in a mindset that where you care if it's Denver
or Utah.
Oklahoma City or Utah.
No.
Because you have much bigger fish to fry with the Clippers and the Lakers and then potentially the Milwaukee Bucks. So while I understood what Joel was talking about, there's certain matchups that are better matchups. To me, if you want to win a championship when you have the Lakers and the Clippers in the same Western Conference, you don't even deserve to be in a conversation if you're too worried about you don't want to see Oklahoma City or you don't want to see Utah. You know what I mean?
You would prefer – now, because I talked about this with – I mean, it was obvious, you know, you wanted to play Oklahoma over Ohio State or Clemson when you're LSU. I mean, that's obvious.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was obvious.
Oh, 100%.
You'd much rather get through an easier team
to
there.
To get to your
but you,
one
you're
game.
Right. You still got the Clippers and the Lakers and the Bucks. I mean, if you're worried about Utah –
yeah, you're not really a...
Well, the Rockets' performance is to say they should be worried about everyone.
Right.
It's not as if they're the one or the two, and then they're trying to find their best matchup. They're in the midst of all those other teams. So why?
Exactly.
So they should be worried about anyone they're facing. Now, you could say, okay, better matchup. They kind of beat Denver to the ground mostly.
Sure.
But the Rockets haven't proven that they're an elite team, so anything should be a problem.
But if you use the phrase, you don't want to see, and it's anyone other than the Clippers and Lakers... then you either have a really bad matchup or you're just really not that team.
They're not that team until proven otherwise.
Well, I mean,
John had a dream?
I heard.
If they blow through the Utah or Denver and then, you know, win their second rounds, if they get to the Western Conference Finals, they could be that team.
Well, let's get there, but this season has said they're just one of many. One of a group of teams who's not an elite basketball team. I know the pedigree, what they've done in the last couple of years, James and Russ, so on and so forth. Let's just forget Russ has been a bad playoff performer the last 3 seasons. But They're just like the Jazz and the Thunder and the Mavs and the Nuggets until proven otherwise.
Well, and that's why I don't believe that they're the fourth favorite when they've got to get through so much. Boston and Toronto have a much easier road. You only have to beat the Bucks and the Lakers or Clippers. They've got to beat all three. There's no question they're going to have to, you're going to have to go through the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Bucks to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's much more difficult than Boston or Toronto has. Much more difficult.
Yeah, I just think if you're the Rockets, it has to be just like that 95 Rockets run where it doesn't matter who you're seeing. You'll take on all comers, and you're going to have to beat them with your great player, Olajuwon / James, and then your secondary player, Clyde / Russ, who I would argue, obviously, that Russ has a chance to take over games, maybe even more so than Clyde, because Clyde would do it every once in a while when it was really important, like against Jeff Hornacek he did. And then and I think you're just going to have your Mario Elie step up, whoever that is. Maybe it's P.J. Tucker. Maybe it's...
Well, which was a rougher road, getting through what the Rockets did?
Oh, Rockets, 361 teams,
yeah,
to win a championship. That was one of the... I think that's considered the greatest road victory in the history of the basketball playoffs. Greatest,
yeah. The teams that they beat was the toughest run.
The teams they beat were unbelievable.
When you're coming from the sixth seed, that's what's going to happen.
Spurs,
oh, by the way, where is this Rockets team?
Sixth seed.
I mean, it ain't going to be easy either now.
No, but that's my whole point. I wouldn't even... To me, having a discussion about who the toughest teams are for them, who cares? Yeah. Line them up and play them, and we'll see if you got what it takes.
8:45.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Do you think this is true? British couples claim going to McDonald's without your partner is as bad as cheating. Do you ever feel like that you are kind of stepping out on your wife when you go to a restaurant or something and don't tell her about it?
I've never thought of it that way.
You know, you kind of hide sometimes the stuff.
Yeah, only lunch. To me, lunch is.
Yeah, but you gotta get lunch. You're not gonna have lunch with her anyway.
Yeah, dinner's different.
You know, you never.
If I could,
you never stop and get something and just sneakily.
Yeah, that, sure.
Yeah,
that happens all the time.
Right.
You eat it real fast in your car.
Right.
Why aren't you eating dinner?
I'm not.
Just have a stomach. Like I think I had a bad piece of almond butter and strawberry preserved toast this morning. Oh, really? Right. You didn't wolf down 4 pounds of sushi? No. What? In the car? Why would I do that? That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Dipping. Driving around. Is that safe to drive around with a bunch of soy sauce in a styrofoam container, dipping a sushi roll in there and like,
oh, yeah.
I just got some on my shirt.
I mean, is there anything safer than eating fried chicken in your car? Because I do that while you're driving.
So a fried chicken sandwich or just
fried chicken.
All right, let me tell you, here's the worst things you can eat. I'm going to go ahead, a plate of Chinese food with chopsticks.
That's too hard.
No, I'm saying, what about spaghetti? Where you get to just keep rolling this
Oh, I've never fork. Eaten spaghetti on the
That's
the
what
car.
I'm saying. I'm giving you some challenges. What about
that
spaghetti?
That would be very difficult. Spaghetti would be very difficult.
Spaghetti
would
be tough.
But it can be done.
The hardest thing.
You steer with your knees. And you twirl it and
all right. How about this? I've got the hardest thing you can eat: crawfish.
Ooh, crawfish is
crawfish the hardest thing you can eat in your car.
Crawfish,
you got to have two hands. It's a mess. Yeah. You could somehow get it in your eyes.
No, you can't do that. No, crawfish is impossible.
You think?
Well, do you always pick up too? Do you ever?
I never eat in my car. Like, I might pick up a fry or something, but I'm not fully eating in my car.
You're not doing that.
Not
well, you don't have to. You don't have to rush anything ever. You're not married.
No,
you,
I don't have to hide anything.
Oh, do you rush eat sometimes?
Not really.
Oh, no. Specifically do it. So
I know you do.
Maybe the kids won't see it or whatever. Right. Like,
you got to eat. Even you and Nicole, so you get sometimes you get it done before you get home to the kids, so they don't know.
Well, we've taken like a dessert to go, and we've run it into the bedroom, locked the door, so we can eat a dessert.
That seems
in the house.
Enjoyable.
Well, you know what? Then just stop acting like a bunch of punk ass kids, and maybe you can get a dessert too.
I'm not coming from the kids' perspective. I'm coming from the adult's perspective of saying, you know what? If I got to be a prisoner in my own room to eat, maybe I made a mistake having kids.
No, they're
a joy. Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, I messed up. They're a blessing.
Yes, a blessing.
So I don't
vampires.
This story goes on, and 1 in 10 Brits claim that going for a sneaky McDonald's without their partner is as bad as cheating. It's the ultimate betrayal.
Stupid British people. What are you talking
about? A poll
of
1,000 British people found 1 in 20 would break up with their other half if they went to the drive-thru without asking them first. 1 in 5 fast food fans said that the taste of a Big Mac again was better than a pay raise. They said,
what do you mean again?
Fast food fans so dedicated to McDonald's that they rated the feeling of a Big Mac after a long break as being on par with the birth of their first child.
So their first McDonald's after quarantine is what I imagine they're getting at this. Is equal to their first child, is better than a pay raise? Well, what?
13% said it was better than their wedding day. Probably. I mean, if you're marrying a British guy,
I believe that.
Big Mac?
With the bad teeth and everything. Probably not very good.
Come on.
Yeah.
Guys.
Maybe their Big Macs are made differently. Do we not know something about what they do to their Big Macs? Because why are these things so special?
Is it a Royale with cheese?
I don't know, but
yeah,
they're talking about them like it is.
You dig it the most, baby. But they do. It's the little things. Like, check this out. I like to eat mayonnaise with their French fries. You do that, John? Do you ever eat mayonnaise with your French fries in Spain when you're in Spain?
No. No. That's stupid.
Del likes it.
Del likes mayonnaise with
I don't like condiments really at all.
You
keep
go
them away from me.
Plain burger?
I mean, no, I put, there's like, depending on where I'm at, I'll throw some bacon on the thing or whatever. But as far as fries, if it's not barbecue sauce, I'm probably not dipping it in anything.
Not even ketchup?
No, I don't really like ketchup.
Do you ever do a ketchup mustard blend?
No.
It's delicious.
I hate mustard.
Oh, you're not a Whataburger guy. We don't care about you. You're an
I go to Whataburger. I just don't want mustard on my burger. Can't stand mustard.
No, I like mustard on my burger.
Well, then that's
mustard and pickles.
Mustard and pickles is Texas. That's a Texas.
I'm not from Texas.
That's a Whataburger.
John's kind of from Texas.
I am from Texas.
He's from Chicago.
When you pick up food for the family, always order a little something for the ride home. They don't.
Yeah,
need, they don't
that's
need
right.
To
Who
know.
Said that?
Jackie.
Who's the smart person?
Jackie. Oh. Not that smart.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
That is true. You get yourself a little treat, just a little extra, something that could be, you know, knocked down before you get home. I have pulled up one time. I got like a Wendy's or something, and that's not a long drive to the house, maybe a mile and a half. So I have had to pull up on my street, hit the brakes, park, and just say, well, guess I got to finish this here before I get to the house. And then I had to crumple up the paper bag and like throw it outside under the car. So, cause there's people, oh, dad. And I'm run it under the car. Hey guys. Oh, hey wife, how you doing?
Why don't you just eat at the Wendy's then at that point?
Yeah. That was before pandemic. That's probably the call.
If you are
but I didn't have headphones. I didn't have headphones so I could watch a show on my phone.
Well, maybe plan ahead.
I usually do plan ahead, but I didn't have headphones.
Well, just let everybody hear the show you're watching.
What's
just
that?
Play it out, play it on your laptop.
I didn't have a laptop with me at a Wendy's.
Oh.
I don't do that. Now, I have in the mall before, because it's so loud anyway, I have done that without headphones before and just turned on subtitles.
Yeah.
And read
them. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
got to get some me time. You got to figure out your time.
Be honest, Lance Erline, you know you have that food towel in the car and your bedroom.
Yeah, I have. The food towels during pandemic, we would go on Fridays to go a burger place. And he and his girlfriend would sit in a car, and then we'd sit in our car, and we'd talk like that. And then napkins, yeah, that's fine. But if you just have a white gym towel, you know, those shop towels, That's way better.
No, you got baby wipes in your car, don't you?
No, we don't have baby wipes in our car.
You don't? You need baby wipes in your car.
But a big ass towel is even better. And then Eric Layden always messes with me because one time I admitted to laying a towel down on the bed and having like queso on the bed. It was a place for me to sit in my room where I wouldn't have to be out with all the people. What? What, Dale? What? I just laid a towel to him. All of a sudden, he calls it a food towel now.
It is a food
towel.
And
he said, I'm laying down with my shirt off. He's turned me into David Hasselhoff.
Are you in your tidy whiteys without a shirt
on? No, none of that. I'm watching out on the show. Bed,
eating because you're afraid of your children?
Yeah, I just don't want people to talk.
Well, I would do that because I was wasted.
Well.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But there's no excuse.
It's not even
there's no excuse for you. Go out with your
family.
You don't
want to get it on. You don't want to get it on a on your you know
you don't
your
want
cover
the kids
your bed
their
cover.
Grubby hands in there.
No, I just put a towel over a bed cover so I don't get any queso over that.
Look at the what you have to go through
what
to get
why,
quiet.
What?
Why don't you go out with your family with your
he
queso?
He doesn't want to.
For lunch? No, because they don't like it. There's too much complaint. Let me tell you something. You've complained too much. All of them have complained, from the wife down to the youngest daughter. There's just too many complaints.
Can you imagine?
I'm an amenable, easy to deal with person.
Clearly.
If I go to a restaurant, what do you want? I don't know, whatever you want is good. Good? Good. Yeah, fine. Pick it. Let's go. Do you want that? Yes. Do you want it? No. Whatever you pick is good with me. I'll eat it. I'm not going to be fussy. I want to get
Why don't
some
you
queso.
Order your own food?
I want to get queso. I don't like your queso. It's got green pepper in it or whatever. And my wife, ooh, I don't eat queso. Well,
then eat
you know
it,
what?
Order
then?
For yourself.
Yeah.
Then you have to look.
You know what? That's a good thing, though, because they don't want
All
any of your
you.
Queso.
But
you
then
can
they
sit
do.
Amongst them, and then you eat
but
your queso.
But then
queso.
You have Madi or snacks coming in and taking giant spoonful of my stuff. Then it turns into you're eating my stuff then.
Because you didn't get any for them.
Call your shot.
Can you imagine, John,
just, you know,
hiding in your own room
just think
with
about
a towel on the bed
no.
eating queso?
You get to do
no.
it, though, Dell. You are doing it every day. You just don't have to hide. You
exactly.
hide in plain sight.
I can eat, it's, there's no fear. I don't rush to eat anything.
Let me tell you something.
Because I'm worried about someone taking my food.
I understand much of my stories
You're like the
run of
the litter in your own house. You're hiding food and eating it in private.
He didn't mention the fact that I'm the original bathroom iPad hider for
That's
years.
That's true.
It's just that sometimes I just want there's a certain way that I like to consume my food, and it's while watching a show. And if you're going to talk or if you're going to complain about this food or I don't want this or I don't want that, or you're going to fight with each other.
Stick your grubby fingers in it.
Or more importantly, it's the kids fight, and then me and the wife get mad, and then I got it like, come on, man. If I'm just by myself, I can control all of the external factors.
Next time my mother
goes, I can eliminate them.
How come you aren't interested in getting married? I'll just play this segment. This is why.
I mean,
there's
a lot of advantages.
Because, Mom, I have to hide in my room to eat.
There's a lot of advantages. Just a quiet lunch is not one of them.
No. All right, 858 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. HR&P is what I'm talking about right now. And those are my peeps over at HR&P. Love Mike Holly and Chris and Chad and my man Robler and everybody over there. If you're looking for the best way, they take care of their people. It is customized. It is tailored to your business. There is no cookie cutter. There's no, listen, we can do this for you. We think you need this. We think you need this. We will help you. Here, we've got a bunch of different benefit packages for you to choose from where the other payroll companies, this is where they make their money, they impose their benefits packages onto you. And that's where they're getting over. That's not what's the case. They do HR and payroll at HR&P. That's the name of it, HR&P. And this is what they do. And then they guide you along through your taxes. They guide you along through your PPP and your SBA, your small business loans. They're doing all of these things every single day. And not only guiding you, but actually doing it for you. So if you're looking for a company that has been just unbelievable during this pandemic in helping their clients' businesses, if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company through the pandemic, then go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back.
there's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.